And do you really ask us to believe, Sir Wilfred was saying, that you have discovered a means for instructing animals in the art of human speech? And that dear old Tobermory has proved your first successful pupil?
It is a problem at which I have worked for the last 17 years, said Mr. Appin. But only during the last 8 or 9 months have I been rewarded with glimmerings of success. Of course, I have experimented with thousands of animals, but latterly only with cats, those wonderful creatures which have assimilated themselves so marvelously with our civilization while retaining all their highly developed feral instincts. Here and there among cats, one comes across an outstanding superior intellect, just as one does among the ruck of human beings, and when I made the acquaintance of Tobermory a week ago, I saw at once that I was in contact with a beyond cat of extraordinary intelligence. I have reached the goal.
And do you mean to say,
asked Miss Resker after a slight pause,
that you have taught Tobermory to say and understand easy sentences of one syllable?
My dear Miss Resker, said the wonder worker patiently, one teaches little children and savages and backward adults in that piecemeal fashion. When one has once solved the problem of making a beginning with an animal of highly developed intelligence, one has no need for those halting methods. Tobermory can speak our language with perfect correctness.
Hadn't we better have the cat in and judge for ourselves?
Suggested Lady Blemley. Sir Wilfred went in search of the animal, and the company settled themselves down to the languid expectation of witnessing some more or less adroit drawing-room ventriloquism. In a minute, Sir Wilfred was back in the room, his face white beneath its tan, and his eyes dilated with excitement.
By Gad, it's true! I found him dozing in the smoking room, and called out to him to come for his tea. He blinked at me in his usual way, and I said, come on, Toby, don't keep us waiting, and by Gad! He drawled out in a most horribly natural voice that he'd come when he dashed well pleased. I nearly jumped out of my skin.
Sir Wilfred's statement carried instant conviction. A Babel-like chorus of startled exclamation arose, amid which the scientist sat mutely enjoying the first fruit of his stupendous discovery. In the midst of the clamour, Tobermory entered the room and made his way with velvet tread and studied unconcern across the group seated round the tea-table. A sudden hush of awkwardness and constraint fell on the company.
"Will you have some milk, Tobermory?"
asked Lady Blemley.
"I don't mind if I do."
A shiver of suppressed excitement went through the listeners, and Lady Blemley might be excused for pouring out the saucerful of milk rather unsteadily.
"I'm afraid I've spilt a good deal of it," she said.
"After all, it's not my Axminster."
Another silence fell on the group.
"What do you think of human intelligence?"
asked Mavis Pellington.
"Of whose intelligence in particular?"
"Oh, well, mine, for instance."
"You put me in an embarrassing position,"
said Tobermory, whose tone and attitude certainly did not suggest a shred of embarrassment.
"When your inclusion in this house party was suggested, Sir Wilfred protested that you were the most brainless woman of his acquaintance, and that there was a wide distinction between hospitality and the care of the feeble-minded. Lady Blemley replied that your lack of brain power was a precise quality which had earned you your invitation, as you were the only person she could think of who may be idiotic enough to buy their old car. You know, the one they call the Envy of Sisyphus, because it goes quite nicely uphill if you push it."
Major Barfield plunged in heavily to effect a diversion.
"How about your carrying John with a tortoiseshell pushy at the stables then, eh?"
The moment he'd said it, everyone realized the blunder.
"One does not usually discuss these matters in public," said Tobermory. "From a slight observation of your way since you've been in this house, I should imagine you'd find it inconvenient if I were to drift the conversation to your own little affairs."
The panic which ensued was not confined to the Major.
"Would you like to go and see if Cook has your dinner ready?"
suggested Lady Blemley hurriedly, affecting to ignore the fact that it wanted at least 2 hours to Tobermory's dinner time.
"Thanks," said Tobermory. Not quite so soon after my tea. I don't want to die of indigestion.
Cats have 9 lives, you know,
said Sir Wilfred heartily. Possibly, but only 1 liver. The panic had indeed become general. A narrow ornamental balustrade ran in front of most of the bedroom windows at the towers, and it was recalled with dismay that this had formed a favourite promenade for Tobermory at all hours whence he could watch the pigeons, and heaven knew what else besides.